under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to your conversation. Right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And I will simply have a little brief pre-introductory thought. Evangelist Franklin Graham said, "They shouted, they cursed, they hurled accusations at the youth, the children, and the families. I find it ironic that they were fine with trampling and violating the rights of Christians who were in church to peacefully worship on Sunday, all the while saying they're standing up for the rights of people who are breaking the law and are in this country illegally." I find that a fascinating, profound, and yet all-encompassing statement as to what we see taking place today, especially in the recent days when we've witnessed the intrusion into a house of God, a place of worship, a New Testament church, where there seems to be no recognition of the rights of religious liberty and freedom of speech for the Christian. And yet for the atheist, the agnostic, the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-civilization, anti-American mindset, there seems to be a sense that we can trample on the rights and the freedoms of others, and those that have no sense of, no awe, no recognition of God and His people and His church, that you can just trample on that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today an issue that I believe is apropos for the times in which we're living in. How to find peace in the storm. How to find peace in the storm. Have you ever been there in the midst of a storm? Seemingly there's no answer. There's no way out. There's no door. There's no windows. In the midst of that storm, and the storm is whirling, darker and darker. In fact, I'm reminded of a text in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, that we'll talk about in a moment during the course of this dialogue and discussion today. But we look at the world, and as we see the world today, it's evident, very evident, that we're in the midst of a storm, both physically, politically, spiritually, personally, corporately. Ladies and gentlemen, we stand on the threshold, I believe, of looking into the future as shown to us in Matthew 24 and 25, where the Lord Jesus warns us, reminds us of the times in which we're living in, wars and rumblings of wars, serious diseases, famines, and Christian persecution. I just give that as a broad brush blurb of what we're seeing, not only in America, but around the globe. We're witnessing today the chaos, confusion, in the perilous times that Jesus speaks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following. And the word perilous simply means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, destructive. And ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of that, we are still here on planet Earth as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Though we may be in the storm, we need not be controlled by the storm. There is refuge for us according to the Scripture. We're going to talk about that today. Love to have your dialogue and discussion, 904-831-0917. Love to have your thoughts and your comments. Perhaps you've been in some of those storms. Perhaps you're in the storm now. I'm looking at an article. More than 16,500 Iranians appear dead. 330,000 are reportedly injured, and by this brutal regime mercilessly hunting down Christians for torture and execution. Behind the darkness of the countrywide blackout, atrocities are being unleashed on people of faith. This isn't ending. Christians are torn from their families, beaten, tortured, disappeared, and threatened with extinction. Pastors are dragged from before sham tribunals and trials and condemned to the world's most brutal prisons. Christian women separated from their children. They're assaulted, jailed, trapped inside Iran with no escape, end quote. And I could go on and on. That was an article from Jay Sekulow, ACLJ. That sets the stage. That's a microcosm of the global darkness, the global storm that's swirling around us today. We're going to talk about that, but let me remind you, as we do, we use the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. I'm reminded of the statement by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in that dystopian novel entitled 1984. One of the primary things that I look at that I repeat almost daily, and that is, Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that taking place even today. We find those that are witnessing and watching what's taking place in Minnesota, what's taking place in New York City, what is taking place in Michigan, Dearborn in particular. We look at what is happening in L.A., out in California. We see what is taking place in Portland, Oregon. We see what's happening in Seattle, Washington. And I could go on and on and on as we look at it. And if you examine it carefully, we're prone to believe and understand that we are in the midst of a whirlwind, a storm that's whirling about us. And yet there are those that will disbelieve, doubt, and deny that that is taking place. I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. You might say, well, how is that possible? Well, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the America's decline is based on the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Now listen, let me, and I rarely say this, but let me remind you with a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote. This does not mean that I agree with all of Jan Hus's theology and his doctrinal persuasions in that era. But I do agree with this statement. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day. As Christians, we need to seek the truth. And listen, this is the reason this broadcast is aired each and every day, as we seek the truth facing the issues in which, in the world in which we're living in. It is our prayer each and every day that you'll hear, heed, not just be entertained, that's not the purpose, but to be informed, inspired, challenged, to be obedient to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. And that faithful saying that I enjoy so much is that we need to seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it. And finally, Jan Hus says, defend it even to death. In fact, one of the footnotes about his life, as he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, truth shall prevail. And I believe that's the position that we need to take today, is to recognize that truth shall prevail. You ask the question, who is truth? Jesus says, I am truth. So we'll go back to the truth book and look at everything that's taking place locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally. We need to look at it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark, an identifier. Tools for Time has a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, in just a moment, open our telephone lines and ask you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. But as we think about what is happening in our nation today, the wars, the rumors of wars, the pestilences, that means diseases, the hurricanes, the floods, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, I understand that about 35, 37 of the states as of today and tonight, across from Texas all the way up to the eastern seaboard to New York, there will be a freeze, rain, sleet, snow, that they say that several million will be in danger in the next 3 or 4 days. So I just touch on that to point out that we're living in difficult days, whether it's today or tomorrow, whether we're looking at the astrological things or the geological things or looking at the political things, whatever it is. As we look out, we see this old world wrapping up, winding down. It's getting faster and faster and faster as we see it wrapping up. And as we do, multitudes, and perhaps you today fall in this category, you're looking at it with fear and awe, not knowing what to do, because you sense that we're in the middle of a storm and you wonder, how can we do so? But ladies and gentlemen, one of the most serious things that's happened in the past several days, Christian persecution. And that persecution is seen where just a few days ago a group of thugs, anti-God, anti-American, anti-church, anti-Christian group went into a church in Minnesota and intimidated, threatened, and confronted the Christians worshiping. They were there to worship. And yet the Christian church and pastors seemed to be wondering, what do I do next? I'm in the storm. I'm in the midst of the danger. How do I respond to it? And ladies and gentlemen, the Attorney General in Minnesota, Keith Ellison, said he would not prosecute, said he would not prosecute those that committed the criminal acts, and stated that Christians would have to just put up with such ambushes in the church, in the churches, in the future. So now I'll just do a little parenthetical footnote before we get into the essence of our conversation and our issue discussion today. What do we do? I believe churches, Christians, pastors, conservatives need to be aware that we're in danger. We need to be aware that the system hates the Christian. The system hates that. When I say the system, let me just be clear. The Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party and those therein, they embrace the criminals, they embrace the thugs, they embrace the murderers, they embrace the robbers, they embrace the rapists, and are against anything that's called conservative Christianity. In fact, we today, ladies and gentlemen, are called the Christian nationalist. And they're using that as the pejorative term to embarrass and to somehow say that Christians are less than citizens or human beings. Nationally, our churches are being, diminished, I think is a good word. We're watching our churches crumbling in attendance. Attendance is down. The so-called Christians are failing to be concerned about spiritual food. And somehow just sitting at home being entertained by the world and what it has to offer. In fact, let me make a quote from one of our sons, Greg. You've heard Greg on the radio broadcast a number of times as he has time to join me in the discussion. Greg recently said, and this is what he said, we see people today who are warned about coming storms and coming danger. They will go out to the stores and they will buy all of the supplies, storm supplies, get prepared, and yet we're told that Jesus Christ is coming soon, and very few people are getting prepared. I think that's a profound statement. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to have with us today Brother Ken McElfresh. Brother Ken and I will be talking about this thing of how are we going to be prepared? How should we find peace in the midst of the storm? We'll be talking about that together today. Brother Ken is the coordinator for the admissions department for the Conservative Theological University. He's the men's Bible teacher in our church. Brother Ken, thank you for sitting with me today. Perhaps before we get into the essence of what we're discussing about finding peace in the midst of the storm, let me ask you to share with our listening audience something about your ministry responsibility. What is the coordinator for admissions for CTU, and what do you want to say to our listeners about the Bible study courses that's offered? How can they take them? Why is witnessing necessary, and is witnessing necessary? How do we learn better how to obey the Scripture and what to do?
Well, thank you, Pastor, and good morning to our listeners. I've labeled my job the best job in the world.
Amen.
being the coordinator of admissions and participating in the ministry here at First Conservative Baptist Church and the university. And really the core of my responsibilities under that coordinator of admissions is to, I'm an assistant, and assistant to a couple groups of people. Number one, which seems to be on a decline, and we're certainly promoting its increase, divinely called individuals to thoroughly prepare them for full or part-time gospel ministries. That's the first group that my position interacts with, that we try to recruit and contact and counsel, whether it's pastoring, assistant pastor, Bible teaching, church planning, missionaries, evangelists. And we offer distinguished degree programs at the associate's, bachelor, graduate, and doctorate levels to facilitate preparation, and how critical it is that we get real men of God that know and rightly divide the Scripture. And our curriculum is customized to meet the challenges of today's ministry. Secondly, I target a group and assist anyone and everyone in the body of Christ. That can be deacons, ushers, Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, bus workers, soul winners, Christian businessmen, the rank and file of born-again believers who desire to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So let me ask you a question, if you don't mind me butting in at this point. Does that mean that Bible college theological training and Conservative Theological University is not just for pastors, but a Christian that just wants to learn the Word of God better and to apply the Word more in his life, it's open opportunity for that individual also?
The way that we view the Scripture here is a believer should produce fruit in their life. Fruit comes from an accurate understanding and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, we see that this fast approaching of the end of the end times,
yes,
the rapture, the tribulation, that there is going to be such a profound deception and false teaching. It's going to intensify right up to the rapture and the tribulation. And we believe that Christians need to prepare themselves even in a greater degree to be prepared for these times that we find ourselves in.
And absolutely, if we're talking about being prepared, how, if you could take a moment, just kind of a thumbnail overview, thumbnail sketch, how is that preparation done through Conservative Theological University?
Well, first of all, to the rank and file Christian, we offer, to get your feet wet, to get in, we offer a free online course.
Amen.
The first course, the tuition cost is free. You do purchase the textbook, add to your library, but we're offering that to get the Christian into the mode of theological training, biblical study, going deep and becoming a workman in the Scripture. So we offer a variety of courses, five of them, that somebody can jump in, take a course, no charge to them financially, strictly because we want to get the Word of God out and be a blessing to our community.
Does a person have to come to class to do that, or is that something, these courses, It's part of the regular curriculum, so it's not something that's just special, different, or watered down. It's one of the courses that's offered to the general theological training class session.
Yes.
They can do it online. Explain how they can take the courses online. Does it necessitate large hours, or is it something that can be done very briefly, part-time, sometimes every day, or do they have to go to the class? Explain that to our listeners.
So in putting together our e-course curriculum for the university, We thought about the stewardship of time and the expense of moving students to Jacksonville from all over the world. We considered accessibility. We're commanded to teach all nations through an online platform, providing the same quality classroom instruction through online courses. Usually there's 12 to 14 weeks of lessons. You can go at your own pace. Typically, we encourage a lesson per week, and you can do so on your schedule, in the convenience of your own home or office, exposed to and receive the blessing of this highly technical theological training.
And what if they, and I use a hypothetical because some might be thinking, the listener might think, well, what if I run into a roadblock? What if I run into a question? What can I do? Who can I call? How can I help walk through that? Explain that.
So during the course, we have connectivity from the student to the professor. Mm-hmm. So any questions that come up in the class, there's a means of making that communication, asking the question, posting in the announcements and news line of each course. But as far as admissions are concerned, do you have any questions? You're interested in the university? I can be reached at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 1-800, which is 462-4253, extension 240. 1-800-GO-BIBLE, extension 240. You can email me at admissions@conservative.edu. That's my direct email. And then go on our website. Take a look at conservative.edu. You'll see the free courses that are there. That you can sign up for. Very easy to sign up for that course. If it takes 30 seconds, that would take a long time.
Yeah.
You can get signed up. We'll connect with you, get the textbook procurement underway. But the key is that we believe here at our church and our university that the Word of God, when rightly divided and diligently taught and studied, is the powerful tool that's needed for this crazy, chaotic world that's just spiraling into destruction. I'll be transparent. We reject human wisdom. We reject current trends. We reject a lot of this modern electronic church ministry methods that go on. And we stick to the Word of God. And we can teach you and train you to have a fruitful, enduring ministry in the gospel.
Amen. And one of the things we'll add as a footnote before we make a transition into our issue for today, we are trans-denominational. That word, ladies and gentlemen, trans-denominational, when you're in a classroom that is online, you're in classroom online, we're not teaching and we're not basically trying to train you in a particular denomination. We're simply going by a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? Not what does a denomination say, what a denominational dogma might teach, but what does the Word of God teach? So it's trans-denominational. So if you're listening and you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you'd like to study the Word, you'd like to know the Word of God better, you'd like to be a better witness, you'd like to be a better Sunday school teacher, you'd like to be a better pastor, preacher, teacher, Christian educator, we'd love to have you call. Brother Ken, give that telephone number once again.
1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-462-4253. My extension is 240. Again, financially affordable,
yes,
biblically sound, and theologically conservative.
Amen.
That's our banner.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that, Brother Ken. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe you should be concerned about, and we all should be, how to find peace in the storm. We're in the midst of a storm, Brother Ken. I don't know if people recognize that or not. Families are struggling each and every day, working, trying to pay bills, taking children to school, and the family's view sometimes, somehow, is on everything but biblical salvation, focus on everything but a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Most families today, ladies and gentlemen, whether we want to admit it or not, most families are focused on going, gathering, getting, and get back home in the afternoon, have dinner. Many do not even have dinner together as a family. Go to bed, get up the next day, and start the same thing, what you'd call the old rat race, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the dilemma. So, Brother Ken, one of the things that I would like to suggest in starting off our dialogue and discussion on what should we do, how to find peace in the midst of the storm, I would like to say, first of all, I believe we need to, number one, trust in God's presence. I'm going to give this scripture and then throw it to you, toss it over to you, let you respond, give advice and direction. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What is that saying?
Well, this it is promised, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee."
That's right.
Where we're promised the divine presence and design help, design assistance, mm-hmm. without interruption. So, but as I look at this, retaining peace in tribulation or in difficulty, as my style and method is trending to be, look at what Jesus said.
Right.
First to begin, mm-hmm. Looking at a subject like this, in John 16:33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world."
Amen. Explain that, because we're in that text, it's not talking about the 7 years of tribulation. What does the word tribulation mean, and is that where we find ourselves today?
Second part of my introduction,
Amen.
Is the definitions.
Mm-hmm.
We can't work on the same glossary, we've got to work on the same dictionary.
That's right.
Right, so the definition of peace is actually threefold. It could be an absence of war, which is a state of harmony between governments or social groups, freedom from disturbance, a state of tranquility, quiet, or serenity, and mental calm, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Then you have the definition of tribulation. In the Bible, it occurs, this word tribulation, thlipsis, is derived from a Latin word, has its source, which means a heavy threshing sledge used to separate grain from husks. In the biblical narrative, it refers to pressure, heat, affliction, distress that tests and purifies the believer. So there's three kinds of tribulation talked about in the Bible. The general Christian experience, the general tribulation that all believers go through in this world. It's the pressing, the heat of the believer's faith by external circumstances from a persecuting world. And then there's purifying tribulation, which God uses to develop the character, the spiritual growth, but also exposing and ending, separating the hypocrites that have temporary faith, according to the parable of the sower. When affliction and tribulation come, they fall away. They're temporary, incomplete decision about the seed that they received. It wasn't real. It was generated by outside stimulus. And when the tribulation comes, the test, the heat, the pressure, they fall away.
Absolutely.
They were never true believers.
Going back to build a little broader foundation and the tribulation, the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to paraphrase, all that love the Lord and serve him are going to face persecution. And you go to the word tribulation, thlipsis, it means pressure, pain, problem, difficulty, darkness.
Amen.
And we're in that realm today as a nation and as a globe. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about that issue that is so vital that I believe we understand. How to find peace in the storm. Perhaps you're in the midst of a storm today. You're looking for peace. You're looking for an answer. I'd love to hear from you for the dialogue and discussion on that. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.